Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There was a pastor who was preaching a children's sermon one Sunday, and he was, in this particular Sunday, he was preaching a sermon using a squirrel as an illustration of hard work and preparation. So he said to the boys and girls, "I'm going to describe something for you, and when I do, when you know what it is, raise your hand." And so he began, "This thing lives in trees. It eats nuts." No hands went up. He says, "It's gray and has a bushy tail." Still, no hands went up. He says, "It jumps from branch to branch, and when it gets excited, it chatters in its tail and goes back and forth." And still, no hands went up until finally one timid young boy raised his hand a little bit, and the pastor was just so relieved and called on him, and the boy said, "Well, I know the answer is Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel to me." Well, you and I live our lives, and we know that the ultimate answer to our lives is Jesus Christ. But sometimes we kind of live our lives as if really Jesus isn't much a part of it. Unless maybe we get into a jam or we get into a situation where we don't have an answer, or we really reach the end of our ropes or something like that. Patty was looking for a parking place. He was late for a meeting, and he was just really sweating it out. And so he lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, "Oh, Lord, if you'll find a parking place for me, I'll quit. I'll go to Mass every Sunday, and I'll quit drinking me Irish whiskey." And just then, a parking place opened up. And he looked up to heaven and said, "Never mind, Lord, I found one." Well, sometimes we can look to Jesus for help in a situation, and then when that help comes, then we don't think much about him after that. We just kind of go back to our normal day-to-day lives. We tend to look for security in lots of different places. We look for security, for example, in maybe the stock market, or our family, or our jobs, or maybe our homes. But sometimes those things can be taken away from us, and with them goes that security. Sometimes we put our trust for our security in the government or in our elected officials. With the political wars going on right now, it's no wonder that so many are fearful that what might happen in the upcoming days, fearful of perhaps someone getting elected or someone not getting elected, and perhaps that causes us to fear and think that maybe we're losing control of our country or losing control of our lives. Turn, if you will, in your bulletins to page 7. Find our gospel lesson for today. Many people know about Jesus. They know who he is. They have heard that he's the Savior. And people are looking for happiness. They're looking for ultimate fulfillment. They're looking for ultimate meaning in life. But many times people are looking in the wrong places for those things. They often are searching for things, not realizing that the answer to their search really is Jesus Christ. Some believe that Jesus may be the Savior, and they think that just because they know about Jesus, or maybe they've gone to church once or whatever, that that's enough for them to get salvation. There are others who think that simply by trying to live a good life, as they define what a good life is, then that's enough for them to get into heaven. Still others think that just by doing enough good works, that should be enough to grant them entrance into eternal life. Still others think that maybe if they just don't do anything really bad, then that should count for something and get them into heaven ultimately. I preach a number of sermons on salvation, and perhaps you've heard one or two. And what I've discovered is that even though many people have heard sermons on salvation and things like that, many people still don't know how to tell other people about Jesus or about the plan of salvation, about the gospel. It's something that we hear about, but we don't often translate it into how can I explain that to someone else. Look at Luke chapter 13, verse 22. "Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, 'Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?'" Are only a few people going to be saved? Are only a few people going to heaven? Now, Jesus was speaking, of course, to people who were Jewish. And they believed that just because they were Jewish, just because they were part of the chosen people, that guaranteed them entrance into heaven. They thought that just because they were born into a Jewish family or something like that, that would be enough to guarantee their salvation. One time someone came to Jesus and said, "You know, Jesus, we have Abraham as our father." And Jesus said to him, "You know, God can raise up from these stones in the ground children of Abraham." In other words, just because you're Jewish, Jesus was saying, or just because you go to a Jewish synagogue doesn't guarantee your salvation. We might say the same thing to an unbeliever. They might say, well, maybe you're born to a Christian parents, or maybe you've gone to church in the past, or maybe you've just done lots of good things, and you think that that's going to guarantee you eternal life. In our gospel lesson today, when Jesus said that the Lord, only a few people are going to be saved, in answer to that question, we might want to ask the question, saved from what? And saved for what? Well, obviously, we're saved from the eternal consequences of sin. We're saved from eternal death, if you will. We're saved from hell. But we're saved for living in the presence of God and in His love. Then Jesus gives his questioner the way to get into heaven. He says this in verse 24, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.'" The doorway to salvation is a narrow door. Jesus alludes to that elsewhere when he says things like, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven." He says in Matthew chapter 7, "Enter through the narrow door, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Author John MacArthur wrote these words, quote, "The narrow gate demands repentance. Many Jews believe that simply being a Jew, a physical descendant of Abraham, was sufficient for entrance into heaven. Many people today believe that being in a church qualifies them for heaven. Some even believe that simply being a human being qualifies them because God is too good and kind to exclude anyone. God does offer the way to all, and His greatest longing is that everyone enter, because He does not desire for any to perish, but all to come to repentance." End quote. The good news is that while we're still alive, we have an opportunity to go in through that door. We have an opportunity to enter into that door. Some of you may be familiar with the Raphaelite painter Holman Hunt, and you may be familiar with his painting of Jesus standing in front of a vine-covered door, holding a lantern in one hand and knocking at the door with the other hand. And as you look closely at that painting, you'll notice that something is missing. The doorknob is missing off that door. And Holman Hunt was asked about that, and he said, "I did that on purpose, to show that in order for Jesus to come into the door of our hearts, we have to open the door. He won't force His way in. He won't make Himself come into our lives. He has to be invited." The bad news is that if we don't open that door, if we don't enter in through that door of Jesus Christ, by turning away from everything that we know is wrong and inviting Him to come into our lives, then one day that door will be closed and not be able to be opened again. That will happen either at our death or when Jesus comes back again. We may wonder why God won't let us into heaven at that time. The reason is that we've had an opportunity to respond to His invitation. We've had an opportunity to open the door for Him. We had an opportunity to go through the door that He offers for salvation. And yet, perhaps we've not made a decision to do that. It's not that we've rejected Jesus so much. It's that we just have not made a decision to invite Him in. My father-in-law used to say, "Not to decide is to decide." So many people end up putting off a decision like that, thinking that, well, maybe I'll make that decision one day. We might wonder why God won't let us in because we haven't made that decision. And they'll say, "I don't know you or where you come from." And that person might say, "Well, I prayed sometimes. I went to church at least once. I had communion. I heard sermons. I gave money to the church. I tried to live a good life. And he'll repeat, I don't know you or where you come from. Now, it's not that Jesus doesn't know every person. He knows everyone. But he doesn't have a relationship with everyone. And that's what he's talking about here. When we preach, teach, and witness that Christ is the only way to God, we are proclaiming not our own view of right religion, but God's revelation of truth. We don't proclaim the narrow way simply because we're already in it, or because it happens to suit our temperament, or because we're bigoted or exclusive. We proclaim the narrow way because it's God's way. It's God's only way for men and women to be saved, to have eternal life. We proclaim a narrow gospel because Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. We proclaim the narrow gospel because Peter did so in the book of Acts in chapter 4, when he said, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, there is one God and one mediator between God and man. That is the man Christ Jesus. We proclaim a narrow gospel because that's the only gospel that God has given us, and thus that's the only gospel that there is. I was witnessing to a guy one time, and he asked me a question. He said, well, what if all this Christianity stuff is not true? What if, you know, you're just believing a lie or a fairy tale or something like that? And I responded, well, if that's the case, then really all I've lost are giving up a few worldly pleasures, and I'll cease to exist when I die, so it won't really matter anyway. There'll be no ultimate purpose to my life. But I said, if it's true, and the evidence points that way, because Jesus rose from the dead, he fulfilled over 300 prophecies, he did miracles, because of that, I put my trust in what he said was the reality of things, how he promises eternal life to everyone. But if I choose to reject that, if I reject inviting him into my life, then the consequences are eternal. Eternal separation from God and his love. Eternal torment as I face an eternity without hope, without love, and without blessings. I said, so that's the reason why I made the decision to put my trust in Jesus Christ. Not only did he promise forgiveness of my sins, but also he promised that he would be with me each day of my life. And I've experienced that throughout the whole of my Christian life. So as I shared that with him, he had things to ponder and to consider. But the important thing was to be able to share with that person the plan of salvation. And hopefully each one of us are able to do that if we have the opportunity. And maybe there is just one person here who hasn't really ever entered into that door of salvation. Well, the good news is today is a good day to do that. In fact, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And so as we make that decision, and perhaps as we reaffirm our decision today as we come up for communion, we're really reminding ourselves of what the truth of God's revelation is, that Jesus Christ came to seek and save those who were lost. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to receive the free gift that Jesus offers. Lord, we know there are some requirements to turn away from everything that we know is wrong and invite him into our lives, but we also know that there is much grace and forgiveness in our Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to not only be thankful for and realize the salvation that we have, but also look around us and realize that there may be others that are perishing today and need to hear that plan of salvation. Would you give us the grace that we need each time we might have an opportunity to share the good news with others? We thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to die for us on the cross. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to live in the light and the shadow of that sacrifice. We thank you for these things in your name. Amen.